Within probably 300 metres, just down below the hill, virtually. It's followed the edge of the hill around and then burnt back up again. And we're just exceptionally lucky that we still have a house.
And driving from Caton, you get to the top of the hill, you go over the hill, and it's just a completely different outlook.
It is. You go from, you think, oh, yeah, it's a little grass, not much has happened. And then, yeah, as soon as you get on top of the hill, it's just black. And, yeah, that's when you realise how hard it was and how far it went. No, it's just phenomenal.
How have you been impacted?
Virtually all my father-in-law's block has been burnt totally out. We leased half and someone else leased the other half. We lost 520 head of sheep, 430 merino ewes, about 80 hoggets and 7 or 8 rams at this stage. And so we got no land to put them back onto, so we're just hunting up long-term leases for the ones that are alive at the moment. So.
And that's what you're doing today. Has it been hard to source that adjustment?
At this stage, because we're more long-term looking, there's plenty of 2 months out there, 3 months terms, all that sort of stuff, and which is brilliant, which helps us out big time. But it's just that longer term till we get the feed to grow back that we need to chase now. And it's not just me, it's everyone around this area that's been affected by it and looking for adjustment as well. So.
Where were you when the fire came through?
My father-in-law were out fighting at the start. It's a Friday afternoon. We're out there just a personal farm unit with all the other farmers and CFS. And about 6:30, I decided to try and move my stock into a safer area. And that's when the change hit. And after that, we just got told to move very quickly. And then by the time I got back here, it was virtually already closing in. So we just grabbed the family and took off into Tanunda and then just left it. So.
500 sheep. What sort of an impact is that going to have on your business?
That's a fairly financial loss for us. It's just lucky I've got a contracting business as well, so hopefully if I can pick up more work through that side of things, landmarking, crutching and all that, that will help us get through this stage of things. So some people don't have that opportunity to have a different business or a second business, so for them it's going to be even harder. But, yeah, it is a big financial loss. Mm.
And the sheep that are in this paddock just near the house, the one paddock you have left that's fenced in, what's the next step with them? You're keeping a close eye on them?
Yes, just over the next couple of weeks we've got to watch them and just see which ones, if they pass away, was getting too much smoke in their lungs. But, yeah, it's slowly, at the start, a few passed away and now it's starting to stabilise again. And I think for what we've got left now, there's about 300 out there which should survive. So if we can find a home for them, they'll be fine. So.
It must have been horrific coming back to the property and seeing the damage and seeing the stock and the effects. How did you cope with that?
It was, yeah. Emotionally, Friday night we thought the house was going to go, definitely, just due to the way the fire was moving and how hard it was burning. And then we got a phone call at about 12:30 Friday night, and they said, look, your house is still there, it's all good, but we're not sure about anything else. And then Saturday morning, we got back and we went and checked the stock, and that's when I realised how many were burned. And, yes, it is hard, and it did affect me, because you do get attached to your stock, even though it's funny how you do, but you do. But then it's realised, too, that you're still alive, you still have a house. Some people are unlucky and don't have their home anymore. They've lost stock and a house. So, really, it's a funny feeling. You're sort of upset that you have lost your stock and your land, but then you're happy because you're still alive, and that's part about it. And everyone's alive around the area. No one lost a life. There's been a few homes, but everyone's alive, so that's the main thing.
The paddocks are black now. How long do you anticipate it will take to build up feed and to be able to graze them again?
It's a bit of an unknown, really. Some spots, I think, will respond quicker than others. The fire was very erratic. Sort of some spots it seemed to burn hotter, and other spots it was like it moved either quicker or the cooler fire, if you can say a cooler fire. But in those areas where it's moved quicker, say, I think it will regenerate quicker. I think by the end of this year, there'll be enough feed there to put stock back on. And for other areas where it's burnt really hot, I wouldn't be surprised. Probably spring next year, I'll be working on to put stock back on. So it's a while, and depends on our winters too, if we get a decent winter and spring.
And now people in the area are coming to terms with their losses and getting a full picture. What sort of support's needed for people impacted like yourself and for the wider community?
It's more, I think, we've had that many phone calls, it's overwhelming. Right? Just offering, saying, like, we'll come and help fencing, and just, like, supply food and hay and everything like that. It's unreal. It's more, it's probably just the support of helping us with the fencing side of things. It's just that's going to be the big part next, is re-fencing the whole blocks. Apart from that, it's hard to say what sort of support. We'll need probably counselling support for some people. But apart from that, it's just more probably a financial support if we can find some of that. And like you said, with all the hay and land that's been offered, that's enough support as it is. So long as we can keep our stock alive.